in the night. Your heart fills with dread, probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who?
Hello and welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. It's the first Friday in May.
I'm not going to say it.
Outdoor fucking starts today. Is that? No.
Oh, I guess today is technically the day that you say it's going to be May.
That's true. Because, the 30th.
Yeah, we're on the 30th right now.
As we record this.
But do people start fucking outdoors in May? Is that a thing?
One of my fave singers, Jonathan Colton, has a song called The First of May. And then he says, outdoor fucking starts today. And he's like, today, the weather's nice. It's time to get outside. It's
you know what?
Celebrate spring with a crazy little thing called fucking outside. That's it.
I feel like it's too hot and humid here for me to want to do that.
Especially in the last few days, it's been like raining ridiculously. Yeah. The April showers was like, it did. I think the sky was like, fuck, I didn't rain enough in April. And like the 30th, the 29th and 30th was like, shh, like get it all down as fast as possible.
My outdoor effing is January through February.
Yeah, only. That's it.
Cold months only.
Depends on where you're at. Well, we have got quite a lineup of odd but true stories, including folks who have had encounters with various lakes.
I've gone down a rabbit hole, specifically the last one, because I was like, what are these? Now I'm on that algo. So
I can't wait. Hell yeah.
You all will have to wait until the last story to find out what we're talking about. But in the meantime, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. This first one is from Kate, and it's called The Day We Learned How to Make Barricades. Content warning, this does discuss a school shooting. Hi, ladies. First off, I love you and this podcast. Listening to Sinisterhood has been such a source of comfort, especially during heavy weeks like this one. Currently, I'm stuck in Tallahassee, Florida, but I grew up in Denton, Texas. So hearing your voices and all of the Texas references make me feel a little more at home. Your mix of humor, heart, and honesty is something really special, and I'm so grateful for it. Thank you so much, Kate. Kate writes, this past Thursday was one of the craziest days of my life. My name is Kate, and I'm a graduate student at Florida State University, pursuing a master's degree in opera. Yes, I'm one of the fat ladies in Viking helmets that sing super loud. It was a typical gorgeous day outside. The weather was in the low 80s, and the breeze was perfect. I had a rehearsal scheduled with my pianist for noon that day, but something in my gut told me not to go, so I texted my pianist and canceled. I went outside and enjoyed the beautiful weather with my dog, Rizzo. Out of nowhere, at 12:02 p.m., my phone got an alert from FSU that read, dangerous situation. An active shooter has been reported in the area of the student union. Police are on scene or on the way. Continue to seek shelter and await further instructions. Panic ensued. People in classrooms took precaution to secure their areas, and many had to barricade doors because many classrooms' doors don't have locks. Texts started flooding in from fellow students, offering up their locked offices for those of us who were seeking shelter. But those in lockless classrooms pushed the pianos used to make music in front of doors to secure safety as much as they could. The music buildings were silent. Halls that were typically full of sound, scales, pianos, trumpets, and every instrument imaginable were desolate. Everyone was checking in with one another in group chats and otherwise, making sure everyone was secure and sheltered. All we could do was sit and wait. We ended up receiving 8 reminders from FSU to continue to shelter in place throughout the course of the afternoon. People were crying, reaching out to loved ones to tell them what was going on, and there was nothing to do but sit and hide. As a TA, I received texts from my sweet 18 to 20-year-old students asking if I was okay and panicking about not wanting to come back to campus the next day. I hurt for my students. I hurt for my friends. I hurt for my professors and a hurt for myself. Luckily, I was a mile away from the activity, but it still caused so much pain in my chest. I spent 3 hours sheltered with only my phone to glue my eyes to as we all waited for updates. As a classical singer, one of my sources of income is singing at a church, and that evening, I had a commitment to sing at a Maundy Thursday service. Regardless of how distraught I was, I showed up to the little Episcopal church I attend. I listened to a sermon about the Last Supper and about the evening before Jesus died, and I could only cry, thinking about how this Maundy Thursday was so many others' day of suffering. While I consider myself more spiritual than religious, I couldn't keep from crying throughout the entire service. Nothing could stop my tears, not even the fact that I was sitting in the choir pews, facing the entire congregation staring at me break down. It's a miracle that I was able to pause the tears during the hymns and make it through the music vocally. My choir director, PhD candidate at FSU, gave me the biggest hug and thanked me for being there, and we embraced before leaving for the evening. It turns out that the shooter is a 20-year-old boy who is a MAGA-touting conservative evangelical Christian. According to a peer, the shooter had such extreme white supremacist views that he was asked to leave a Turning Point USA group at a previous community college he attended prior to FSU. To add insult to injury, before the shooting, he changed his Instagram bio to a Bible verse about being used as a weapon against, quote, God's enemies. I can't fathom why a person would do such a thing, and the shooter still seems to be motiveless. I'm so hurt by this situation, regardless of being distanced from the shooting itself. This weekend, I'm preparing to return to the place where people died and so many others were injured. Tomorrow, I expect to have probably the worst case of the Sunday scaries as I go back to regular classes and business Monday morning. I've included a picture of my sweet Rizzo for a palate cleanser, and to show you the gorgeous girl that has helped me in my turmoil. And I've also included a link to a performance of mine if you're interested in hearing what I do for a living. Hashtag shameless plug. I love you all so dearly for providing a platform and for cultivating such a loving and compassionate community. I posted to the Patreon Facebook group and received so many kind words. So thank you, Heather and Christy, and thank you to the amazing people who reached out and offered compassion. I don't know how else to end this but to say, the end. P.S. My friend sings at the church Ron DeSantis attends, and she can attest that, yes, he wears lifts.
That the true palate cleanser is hearing about Ron DeSantis' high heels. But, you know, even if you're not on campus, having that literally shatter the sense of safety of the place that, like you said, you go to make music, to make something beautiful, and to have it turned into that, even from a mile away, is still... it's shattering.
And it's your school, you know? I mean, regardless if you weren't even on campus that day, to know that, like, that happened at the place where, you know, I attend, and it's my home, and my professors and my friends and students are there. This was a really wild day, very sad. And what's even sadder is a lot of these kids were there for the Parkland shooting.
Wow.
Because it was also in Florida. So this is their second school shooting.
If I recall correctly, I think it was the same. There was one of the students at the one of the Michigan schools, that colleges, universities, had also been in, if not Sandy Hook, as a child had suffered it. So now you're seeing this, like, repeat in, like, well, you know, it happened to me when I was six, or it happened to me when I was in high school. Surely it won't happen again. But to see it increasing year after year is disturbing, certainly. But
it is.
God damn.
This one got a lot of attention on TikTok, especially. I've seen a lot of videos, which, say what you will about social media, and myself included, there are some good things that come out of it, though, that show us a view that otherwise we wouldn't, to just give you kind of some insight and maybe you can learn, but also to get a feel of how fucking scary it is. Like, literally, tables and huge desks were pushed in front of elevators. There were brooms and stuff stuck through, I mean, door handles. And this is all done by, like, the students. And one of the students was quoted saying, I remember that they always told us that mass shooters don't want to have to work very hard. They're just concerned with numbers. So make it as difficult as possible to get to you. And that's in America what our kids learn.
Yeah, that's what you take from schools to go, well, to protect myself from a mass shooter, I better do these things.
Good thing they had the training.
Yeah, it's information you need, unfortunately. Yeah. But yeah, the juxtaposition of halls of learning that are supposed to be for creating, playing piano, like you said, it should be trumpet sounds and scales, is silence because you're like, I can't be heard. A friend of ours, when you and I were at Wine Night that one night, a friend that teaches middle school, talking about not knowing sometimes when there are these drills and pulling mm-hmm. their band door down and having to like quiet 12 and 13 year olds, like, don't move. And she's like, this is a room where we're like loud. It's the band room, mm-hmm. right? Like, we want everybody to play their music, but to have to instill that silence and be like, you can't even cry. Like, you can't even breathe. You can't even cry. I'm sorry. You have to be so quiet. I can't imagine it doesn't do something to our brains.
No, I mean, regardless if you were a mile away or on campus, or you were a victim of this person, it affects everybody and the community as well. And it's that ripple effect. And if I'm not mistaken, the shooter was the son of a
law enforcement
that had been in the force for like decades and was very well thought of. And it was her firearm that he used. He had also gone through junior law enforcement type of training and stuff because he was interested in it because mm-hmm. his mom was in it. So his biological mom has come out and said that when he went to live with his dad and stepmom, that she was really concerned because they had very extremist views and that there was a lot of access to guns there too.
Certainly, if you're so racist and white supremacist that you get kicked out of a Turning Point USA group,
that's hard to do.
That's pretty, you're more extreme than the extremists. And I always say I hate for I just called somebody the other night. I said, you know, she's one of those good Jesus following Christians, you know, somebody that like truly embodies the spirit of the Lord. And I always feel so bad for my friends who are practicing Christians, who are that Jesus, go down and help people, every single person that needs help, regardless of who they are, where they're from, like, cast the first stone if you're without sin, get lumped in with literal extremists, monsters who want to say like, oh, I'm a weapon against God's enemies. It's like, you're kind of making up a whole thing that's actually not even written in there.
Yeah. And you're it's like MAGA stuff too. Yeah, it's just cherry picking what you want to push a violent agenda.
Yeah. Well, everybody at FSU, and I'm glad that the Patreon Facebook group could be a place for you, Kate. And I hope everybody at FSU finds communities, finds places where you can feel heard and you can feel grounded after something that really does shake the ground beneath your feet.
For sure. And it sounds like you're a great TA if your students are taking the time to reach out to you to make sure you're okay. So you are a source of comfort for others as well.
Most definitely. And Rizzo, what an angel. Look at that perfect
love
baby.
Love Rizzo. I mean, she's got to be named after Grease, right?
Hell yeah. Look at
I mean, and which is my favorite character. So
she's got that attitude.
Love it.
I like it. I like it.
Well, thank you, Kate, for sending that in. And we're so glad that you're safe.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
Well, this next one is from Katie, and it's called My Escape from Who Knows What. Hello. Thank you, ladies, for this amazing podcast. I'm slowly working my way through all of your episodes, and I truly enjoy listening to everything you share. Keep it up. I am working from oldest and newest in, so it really is fun hearing about your lives and also the world out of order and jumbled up. It makes the current dumpster fire seem not so permanent. On to my story. I grew up in a very urban area and attended a private high school because the public school was not very safe at all. Think metal detectors and gun violence in the late 80s and early 90s. As a result, I had to carpool to get to school, and I rode public transportation to my mom's work after school. She worked at a daycare center, and I would spend my afternoons at the daycare center until closing, then we would go home. This daycare center was also not in a great part of the city, and this is important to my story. Growing up where I did, I was, and still am, very street smart. I've witnessed a great many things from a very young age that no one should have to see ever, let alone a kid. But I digress. On this particular day, I was wearing shorts and a blouse. Usually, I wore my dress code attire, which in a way was sort of armor for me. a way for me to hide. But this day was a dress-up day for some special occasion. I think I was either a sophomore or junior in high school. Can't recall if I had my driver's license yet or not, but I shared a car with my mom. So either way, the bus was the way home. I had stayed after school to do work study, then walked across the street to catch the bus. The ride was about 15 to 20 minutes, and depending on the day and time, the bus was either super crowded or nearly empty. It was a straight shot, and I got off at a stop that was one block away from the daycare center and was right next to the public library. On this particular day, the bus was mostly empty. There was a little old lady in the very front of the bus and a man sleeping in the back. I settled in near the middle of the bus. A few stops later, three men in their mid-20s came on. I could tell right away that they were no good. Street smarts and my gut never fail me. They saw me and immediately sat down, two directly in front of me and the third across the aisle from me with his feet positioned in such a way that he was blocking me in. They started talking to me. One said, "Do you play three-card Monty?" I replied, "No, thank you." Then he said, "I have some gold jewelry here. You want to buy some?" Again, I said, "No, thank you." This entire time, I was thinking about how to get away, and I kept looking at the bus driver. I made eye contact with him in his mirror, but he did nothing. The guy blocking the aisle then said, "Do you smoke?" I replied, "No, thanks." Then he said, "Well, you will be smoking when we're done with you." And he put his hand on my thigh. At that, I stood up and stomped down hard on the guy's knee and ran to the front of the bus. The driver was slowing for a stop to pick some people up. I shoved the doors open and ran as fast as I could. I was two or three stops away from my stop, so that meant I ran for five or six blocks. I could hear the men running behind me. I didn't stop, and I ran into the public library and started yelling for help. Police were called, the men were never found, and an officer escorted me to the daycare center a block away. I got out of it okay, but to this day, it's terrifying. From that point on, I never rode that bus again. I spoke to the school and they let me stay late every day while I waited for my mom to pick me up. Thank you for reading and sharing. This was very healing for me.
What a fucking terrifying incident, but it makes you ever so glad for places like libraries.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a safe place.
And I'm glad that everyone there took you seriously too. That drop in your stomach when you see three guys that are older than you, but not crazy older than you, but old enough to be bad news.
Yeah.
Man, that's, and fuck this bus driver. Right? If you see a young girl in the back and you know three guys just got on and they, of all the places they could have sat right in front of her and right next to her, keep an eye on that. And if she looks at you and makes eye contact, that's a sign.
Right.
Do something about it.
At the very least, be like, come sit up here in the front or, you know, like make it a well-known that you are not going to put up with shit like that. But I mean, it's about nowadays, I feel like buses have, you know, cameras and stuff on them. I think stuff like this still happens. But even with that, it's like, hey, be aware, like somebody else is watching you. And I think as a person in a uniform that's like literally in charge of the whole bus and has a radio that you could radio ahead or radio for help, the onus is kind of on the adult in the room and the employed adult in charge of the whole place to do something. So Katie, I don't think you did anything wrong. In fact, that was very brave to jump up and run off. And it's like scary that you have to dive out of a partially moving vehicle just so that you can go to the place that you're going. And in a way that you don't feel threatened, because you will be smoking when we're done with you is extremely sinister and horrible.
Yeah. I don't even want to let my brain go to what exactly they were implying, but the hand on the thigh is obviously it wasn't going anywhere good, and good for you for being like, fuck this.
Nope.
And just stomping that asshole and getting out of there.
It's like apparently my response is flight, because I flew the fuck out of there and jumped out of a moving bus. So
fight, you're then a badass. Flight.
Yeah. Right.
She
stomped that.
Hit him in the face. I'm always like, we don't want to hit people to the kids unless someone is trying to do something to you. And then it's perfectly like, fine.
Yell out, I'm going beast mode, and just start swinging your arm. I think for whatever we all think of him and his comedy, I got a lot of hot takes, negative ones. But Dane Cook was always like, you got to act crazier than the person that's attacking you. Just act crazier. And that That's always my plan. But yeah, jump and a stomp and a runoff. But I'm glad you found a safe place like the library, and think a lesson to all of us that we got to protect safe places like that. So when we are running, going, library's a safe place, mm-hmm. that we have somewhere like that to go.
Mm-hmm. Tommy also, his mom worked at a daycare, and after school, he would walk to the daycare too and wait for her to get off. So, you know, sometimes you got to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And you should be able to without something like this happening.
Certainly.
Well, thank you so much, Katie, for sending that in. This next one is from Lilius, and it's called Kinda Like the Static People. Hi, Christy. Hi, Heather. I'm listening to your most recent Freaky Friday with the second story about static people, and I felt compelled to finally send my story in, though I saw something different from static. I was completely sober when this happened, and I hadn't eaten anything out of the ordinary. It was late at night, maybe around midnight, in August of 2024. Lights were off, and I thought I saw movement. I looked, and I saw a figure, but not a solid figure. It was standing in the middle of the bed. It was short, like maybe 2 feet tall, with a square body and a little square head, two legs, two arms, no facial features, but I could tell it was facing me. It was a figure made up of swirls. You know the way oil looks when poured into water? Kind of like that. Thinking I was dreaming, I blinked whatever possible sleep I had out of my eyes, and the figure was still there. I sat up, and the figure was still there. And now I could see it from the side. At this point, I literally pinched myself to make sure I was awake, and the figure was still there. I turned on the light, and the figure was no longer there. I turned the light off, and it was still gone. Then I noticed something moving on the top of my bookshelf. I looked, and there was another swirling image appearing before me. The figure emerging kind of like roots growing out from a tree, or like a fungus taking over the wall. The figure that formed was like a little dragon. I thought of the word demon because the red blinking light of the fire alarm was its eye. I started to worry that what I was seeing was a type of gas in the air. I turned the light back on, and the dragon figure was no longer there. Turned off the light, and it started to form again. This whole time, my dogs had not acted like anything was wrong. I was also afraid I was losing my mind. So I went downstairs to get my husband, checking the knobs on our gas stove on the way. For the next few minutes, back upstairs, the two of us turned the light on and off. When the light was off, the swirling moved in the entire space, as in the very air in the room was swirling, and that demon thing was still up there. My husband didn't see anything. He was a little freaked out by my behavior, though. Finally, after maybe 15 minutes, the swirling stopped. The next day, the fire alarm light had stopped blinking red and was a peaceful green again. So what the, I don't know. I don't know how interesting this story will be, but I thought if you end up sharing it, someone might have had a similar experience or might have an idea of what happened to me. Thank you for reading this, and also thank you for combining kindness, humor, empathy, and just enough eeriness to create Sinisterhood.
Well, thank you for your kind words.
And yes.
There's a goddamn dragon in your bedroom. Fuck, that's so scary when you stare at something and it's like you're at once seeing it better, but also still can't see it in the dark. Just makes me so terrified.
I wonder why the husband didn't see it, because I was also like, this does sound like a gas situation, which a lot of times is how paranormal activity is explained away. Gas, carbon monoxide and shit, it's nothing to mess with. And mm-mm. There's a reason it's a silent killer, because you can't see or smell it. So you're smart to go downstairs and check all of that. For it to still be happening and the light being red, and then the next day it was green, it makes me think that there was something actually there.
Yeah.
And the husband just didn't see it, like some sort of, maybe not a gas necessarily, but something
moving?
Not smoke, but I don't know what's in between gas and smoke,
like a really thin gas, like thinner than, I don't know, that your eye would still register in the darkness, but mm-hmm. maybe that you do in the part of your eye that you use in the dark is different than the part of your eye that you use in the light, and the one that you use in the dark I think is not as good at details as it, because it's like wide open, trying to take in as much light as possible when there's not a lot of light. So I think if she was upstairs for a longer time in the dark, you go down and get your husband, he is not used to the darkness. So his eyes are focusing on different things. So to me, that makes sense that he probably wouldn't see it unless he was like, I was asleep downstairs and I walked up in a dark room. But it's like your eyes adjust even walking like through a hallway. So it would take him a minute to like lay there and try to let his eyes adjust. So I would say it's either some type of actual corporeal thing that you happen to see because your eyes had been adjusted to the darkness and his had it. Or, yeah, I don't know, or there's a goddamn dragon on your dresser. But I want to know if anybody else has seen this, like a swirling kind of smoke, not quite a smoke monster, because it's not really like the thickness of smoke.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. But it's enough to cause a smoke alarm to be affected.
To register in some way. Yeah, and the red being part of its eye and stuff. I don't know about all that. Yeah. That makes me, I'm like, get a second, you need to get a detector to detect if that detector is detected.
A carbon monoxide detector?
Yeah, both of them.
Yeah. Well, if you have experienced this and you know what it happened, or maybe you don't, you just experienced, let us know. And we'll let Lilius know she's not alone.
Yeah, I'm like, we got some scientists that listen that could explain, like, maybe either from a physics perspective of, like, smoke or mist or something in the air that would move that way, and or how eyes work and why somebody's eyes would
eyes
see it. Somebody
are mind-blowing.
Fucking mystery,
I can't
dude.
Even begin to put my wrap my head around it. We also didn't really touch on the little tiny figure that was in the bed,
yeah,
which
also that
is something totally different than the other things, so... The 2 foot tall square body with a square head and 2 legs and 2 arms and no facial features sounds like a tiny robot.
And it's like, I have dropped my dragon figurine. Please return my dragon figurine. Yeah. Any of the stuff that's like half here, half not, I'm like, is this some dimensional shit? I don't know. I don't know. Are we ripping? I think that's why things are weird and we think time is being sucked away. There's the fraying between the dimensions.
I thought it was just depression, but I guess it could be that too.
It's a side effect. Well, damn. Well, I hope if anybody else has had this, that they write in, because stuff like this, you're like, I'm the only one in the world that this has happened to. And then someone's like, oh my God, I was listening to a podcast and that thing that I always thought I was the only person.
Mm-hmm.
So much like the static people. So I hope you find a kindred spirit. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
You got a theme coming up
for
the next three.
Let's dive into this theme.
Oh, good one.
The first one is from Pepper's Fam, and the subject line is Lake Lanier Lifesaver. Hello to my two favorite earbud besties. My name is Brittany, and this is my Lake Lanier tale of sinister shittery. But first and foremost, thanks for all the laughs and relatability. You're a fun part of my weekly pod routine. Any hoosies, on to the story. In May of 2021, we spent a weekend in the Atlanta area visiting family. On our way out of town, my husband got a call from an old work buddy saying he was fishing and his kids were swimming at a nearby lake and asked if we'd like to join. Kids were already in bathing suits from our earlier activities, so we said, why not? I was not aware of the lore of Lake Lanier at this time, but quickly learned after the following events. We met up with our old buddies, and the kids synced right back into friend mode like they always do. Several of the older kiddos were jumping into the lake from the rocks along the side of the bank as the adults sat close by keeping an eye on them. Out from over the screams of excitement and splashing, one child from far off caught my attention saying, "Hey, he's pretending to drown in the Death Lake," and points and laughs. A little boy was bobbing and waving both hands, almost as if he was teasing the other kids, acting like he couldn't swim. No, he really can't swim? As I'm now locked eyes with this kid, trying to gauge the situation, his head starts to submerge and not come back up. Before I can get the words, he needs help, out of my stupid, stuttering mouth, my husband Rodney has slung the contents of his pockets on the ground and dove straight toward the drowning boy. We pulled him up the side of the embankment where he struggled for a few seconds. Everyone around rallied to make sure he was breathing and hadn't swallowed too much water. Ultimately, he was fine, just shaken up. But I had never seen this kid before, and where were his people? He didn't belong to any of the surrounding families, and no one else besides us seemed to notice the incident had happened at all. Eventually, he got up and shook it off and wandered back over to the sandy part of the shore in search of his parents? Here's to hoping he wasn't let loose on Lake Lanier all by his lonesome. Right before he was no longer in earshot, I heard him mutter to himself behind frustrated grunts. Felt like something was pulling me down. I don't even know if they ever knew that their son could have died had we not been paying attention. This moment will always remind me, and hopefully all parents, that terrible things can happen in a split second, especially on a haunted, cursed body of water with its own twisted agenda. It was either the next day or on the ride home that Morbid released their episode on Lake Lanier. Hearing the damning and seemingly unforgivable effects of the lake and how endless lives have been lost there gave me full chills down my spine, knowing that another tragedy had just been narrowly avoided right in front of me. So that's it for now. But this was fun, and I'd love to send in more stories eventually of living in spooky, haunted Savannah, Georgia. I also want to give a shout out to my long-distance best friend of 20 years, Jordan. Gordon, if you're nasty. Who is also now a weekly listener as well. Love you guys, and thanks for reading.
You know you're a true friend when you can call them Horden, and it's a well-received
term of endearment, certainly. Good Lord, these pictures just jumping off that
rock. Yeah, and thank you also for sending in the pics. You can tell, like, it has the yellow, you know, big bumper. It's like, don't swim past this. Those are just like on the surface. Mm-hmm. It's not like there's something that goes all the way down. Sometimes in like oceans, there will be like a netting. Mm-hmm. I imagine this is just kind of a, like you would put in a pool lane to be like, don't go over there. So
stay over here. There's a tree.
It's easy to go under it, or you're swimming and you don't realize that you've gone under it. You pop up, you're on the other side.
Yeah, seriously. And I'm sure like seeing a kid from far off that's not your kid that you're just like, oh, he's messing about. But it's that stomach drop of, mm-hmm. oh, he's not messing about. So shout out to Rodney for fucking emptying his pockets and being like, hero, dude. I mean, but that's what most parents, and not most parents, but what several family members have done in these same situations. And sadly, we're also taken in by the waves as well. So it's, the guy that recovers bodies just being like life jackets, just gotta do life jackets.
And the pulling him down, I imagine, was the current something that he was feeling. I mean, little kids are light, and something like that, it doesn't take much.
Yeah, especially, you know, you don't know if it's a big, you dive in and it's not very deep, and then you just swim like 10 more yards, 10 more feet even, and it's a huge drop off, and it definitely feels different underneath you. But yeah, shout out to old Rodney for jumping in, and thanks for sending these pictures too. It definitely gives it even, because we, you know, of course we see a lot of aerial footage and stuff, but seeing kind of like there are just people in these certain areas or jumping off the rocks and whatnot, it definitely gives a different perspective.
Yeah, and as we mentioned, there's not a lifeguard in sight. It's not like there's people that work for the lake that are there. It's kind of a swim at your own risk, and hopefully everyone's looking out for each other.
Yeah, I didn't realize until when we posted about episode 2, one of the things we posted was from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and they just kind of give general safety tips. And the idea of everybody's watching, so nobody's watching, I didn't even think of that. And it's almost, we talked about the bystander effect in the Kitty Genovese episodes and kind of debunking that. But this concept of like, there's 10 adults, so you're kind of like, someone's watching. But it's like, you really do need to designate like, hey, for the next 30 minutes, can you be the watcher? AKA, don't scroll on your phone, don't read a book, don't turn around, don't go get a sandwich. Just like, I'm going to be the, like, essentially the lifeguard on duty for your own family. And it's like, you know, stuff like that, you wouldn't even think to do it. But sadly, you know, the newspaper came out with all these tips because it was around the late teens when these like the death counts were just rising. And they're like, people obviously don't know these things. Yeah. So having, you know, your eyes out there and being able to, even before saying something to your husband, like y'all are both kind of watching, is so lucky for that kid.
Yeah. A false sense of security of like safety in numbers, but everybody's in their own world. So you can't assume just because there's, you know, a bunch of people around that anyone's paying attention.
For sure. Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Yeah, and I'm so glad that it turned out the way it did. And I hope that that boy's parents were nearby and maybe he told them what happened. Because you should know that that happened, so you don't let your kid just run off and he's out of your eyesight to be able to do that.
Especially after that diver said, that we quoted in episode 2, said it takes 20 seconds mm-hmm. for a kid. Like, that's so, I mean, just look at your watch. 20 mm-hmm. seconds is nothing. Mm-hmm. So good on you guys. Sinister Hood, we'll be right back. Well, this next one is from Kelsey, and the subject line is Lake Lanier, near-death experience. Hi, all. Love you both and the podcast. I'll get into it. I'm originally from Southern California, but moved around the U.S. for a couple years until I ended up in Atlanta, Georgia. It was just me and my two dogs, Huck and Dakota, pictures attached. Both of these precious angels are no longer with us, but they were the best of the best. I lived about 45 minutes from Lake Lanier and didn't have many local friends. If I did, I'm pretty sure they would have warned me about Lake Lanier. My mom came to visit a couple times the first year I lived in Atlanta, and growing up in SoCal, lake life wasn't really something we got to experience often. So, after the first time renting a boat on the lake, it became something we looked forward to doing every time she visited. Our first trip out on the lake, we rented the pontoon boat for 3 hours at the end of the day. Had a great time. Swam, played with the dogs, ate our sandwiches, had a beer, all the normal lake stuff. About 30 minutes before we were due to return the boat, we started heading back. Because this is not the main part of my story, I'll give you the TLDR version. We arrived 2 hours after the return time / the rental company closed. We got terribly lost. The GPS on the boat could not figure out where we were, and we had to stay on the phone with the poor kid at the rental shop for 2 hours while we tried to give him landmarks to help guide us home. Needless to say, we tipped him good when we finally got back. The first trip out didn't deter us from going back. We both just figured we needed to pay better attention to where we were going. It was around our third or fourth trip when things got spooky, and we haven't been back since. We were about 2 hours into our pontoon rental, having a great time. We would find little islands to get close to, and then me and the two dogs would jump in, swim to the island, run around, and swim back. On our last stop, as we were swimming back, I noticed the boat and my mom had started drifting pretty far away and into much deeper water. But we were already on our swim back, and to be honest, I didn't trust my mom to drive the boat closer without hitting us. She's a bit chaotic. I made it to the boat, lifted Huck, the black dog, onto the pontoon, and went to do the same for Dakota, the bigger red dog. Dakota just went immediately limp and gave me this terrifying, dead-in-the-eyes look. He'd done this countless times before, so why was he not trying to jump up? I went into doggy lifeguard mode and held on to his harness while I jumped up onto the pontoon in an attempt to lift him out of the water rather than push him up onto the boat. Dakota was 60-ish pounds, and at this point, he was completely dead weight, just staring off into the distance like his soul or brain had left his body. I yelled at my mom to hold my legs while I lifted him on the boat. He continued to be completely limp and lifeless. I was terrified that I was about to watch my best friend drown in the lake doing his favorite thing, swim. After what seemed like an eternity, but was actually about a 5-minute struggle, we eventually got Dakota back on the boat. It took about 30 minutes, but he eventually started acting normal again. But he initially acted off. My normally happy pup, especially being at the water swimming, was his favorite, seemed very aloof and disassociated. Needless to say, that was our last trip. Even after that, I still had no idea about the history of Lake Lanier. It was months later when I was telling a new friend, a local Atlantan, about our experience when she told me that she never goes to Lake Lanier and then told me about the lake's haunting history. I don't know if it was a lonely spirit trying to pull my sweet Dakota down as a pet, something more sinister, or maybe he was just tired. But it was one of the most horrifying situations I've ever been in. And seeing the look on his face as he went limp while I was trying to get him on the boat is something I will never forget. Thank you for covering this story and all the others. I've attached some photos from our first trip to Lake Lanier. I had given Dakota a horrible haircut, but he still looks so precious. Keep it creepy.
Well, well, well.
Baby yeah. Dakota.
Well, first of all, your dogs are precious. They both look just like good little boys that like to go out and swim and be sweet pups. And you and your the mom best. Are very cute too. I don't know if a harness is the same as a doggy life jacket, but they have doggy life jackets too.
Right. I didn't think about this, but dogs can just as easily, I think, as humans get like apoxia or hypoxia, where you have like a lack of oxygen to your brain. So it could be that just like swimming and it gets a little bit deeper, or the currents or whatever, kind of like you exhaust yourself to where you're like, before you know it, you're out of breath. And so, I mean, he probably made it as far as he could right to the edge of the boat. And the second you're like, I got you, buddy. It's like, okay, my body is like, I just need to rest. And you kind of almost like, you know, it's like when someone's like, I'm going to pass out. And then as soon as you get your arms around them, they pass out because their body's like, okay, safe to collapse. So thank God you were there to grab him, because they do, like you said, they look like they were the best of the boys. But that lifeless, you know, when, especially if a dog's normally like, I love to swim, I'm so awake, I'm so alive. And to just slump down is, and 60 pounds
of dead weight
over your head into a, and then trying to drag it up regardless, that without them helping you, 60 pounds suddenly feels like 160.
Oh yeah. Yeah. In the water. It's very easy for dogs to get tired out, especially like maybe the current picked up or something. And it was like kind of pulling them down. So like you said, you have to work harder, and they, and then they have to work harder just like humans do.
Yeah. They're four, they got four legs. We only got two kicking underneath there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I love a day on a pontoon boat. Don't get me wrong. We're like a pontoon written family, but you're right. Whenever you get on, especially if it's a lake that's a little bit more, there's more like tributaries and fingers, it can get like disorienting. And this one's huge, of course. And like the lakes I've driven on have been like, you know, a tenth of the size, but yeah, getting into an alcove and being like, if your GPS doesn't work, you're fucking hosed. Like your phone, even if your phone gets a signal to call, it's not the same as like location.
That's one of the scarier parts of this for me, is like getting lost on a huge lake and like, you're just, you have no idea. Thankfully that kid was there and knew the lake well enough to be like, oh, you're by this. Okay, go this way. But I have a terrible sense of direction. So that is very easily something that could happen to me. And, you know, eventually you run out of gas, or, you know, I mean, what, hopefully you float somewhere where other people are, but being lost on any type of open water is terrifying.
Oh, it's extremely scary. And especially if it's an area like Lake Lanier, and there's some houses and a resort here and there, but it's not as like, I think a lot of Texas lakes, the developers have built houses. So you might be able to go like, oh, the house with the, you know, LSU flag is on my right. And therefore when I'm coming back, I'm like, oh, let me go spot that. You know, it's just like weird little landmarks, but a lot of areas of Lake Lanier, it's just trees all around. So it's not as easy to go like, oh, it was the house with the basketball court, you know, adjacent to the lake. I remember seeing that. Trees just start to look the same.
There's trees?
Yeah. Especially
if it's, man, there's trees all over this lake.
And if it's closing time and it's getting darker and darker and darker, you're like, I think those are the same trees.
Yeah. Once it gets dark too. Oh man. No.
And cause you were like, oh, I'm in a boat. I have instruments that will help me get back, a GPS, whatever. And to have that go out, it's like I said, seeing people on TikTok being like, oh, I'm on Lake Lanier, so my boat broke down again. I'm like, oh no, I need it to work to get me back.
Every time I hear of a pontoon boat incident, I think of the actress from Glee who drowned Naya while Rivera trying to save her son. And she was able to push him up onto it, and he was later found asleep by people out on the lake.
She exhausted.
She unfortunately had exhausted herself doing that and succumbed. I don't believe life jackets were involved with that either, but it took a while for them to find her body. It was really, that story has always really stuck with me, because it was just her and her kid too.
And for the little boy, you know, it's like you're young enough to hopefully not remember everything, but at some point you're going to, it's locked in there.
Yeah,
you know,
I feel like he was around four. So, little guy. And then you're just like on a boat by yourself until someone finds you.
Yeah, certainly. But stuff like that. Yeah, it definitely makes you clock various types of boat safety and instrumentalities and different things that you can have with you. Because, you know, it's not like, well, we should never have any fun on the water ever. And it's like, well, as long as you have contact like this, it's this situation, even if you're lost, you're able to call the boat people. That poor guy had to stay late, but at least he wasn't like, I'm clocked out. I guess we'll see the boat tomorrow. Click.
Oh, like, yeah. Thankfully, well, he was like, sure, I'll he gets handed a fat stack of cash. I also hope, even if he didn't, he's like, people are lost on the lake. I got to get them in so we don't have more tragedies. But
Goddamn.
I mean, even these pictures, nobody's arguing that this isn't a gorgeous lake. It's just a dangerous one for several reasons.
Exactly. Respect the vastness, but well, RIP to your sweet boys.
Yes.
Thank you for showing us their pictures, Kelsey.
So sweet.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. Well, this final one is from Becky. She's taking us up north, and her subject line is swimming in lakes. Hello, ladies. First off, love you guys. I love the cadence of both your storytelling voices and often imitate it when me and my kids are reading together. Okay, I had to write in when Christy was talking about her aversion of lake swimming and just the Lake Lanier episode in general. I also have a fear of lake swimming. First off, I'm from Minnesota, and we are the land of 10,000 lakes, and we love them. I live in Minneapolis, and we are the city of lakes. We are obsessed with them. So this dislike is not very convenient, but I can trace it back to a fun summer vacation with my cousins, aunt, and uncle on Potato Lake in northern Minnesota. Me and my cousin would spend all day in the lake, swimming, fishing, and paddle boating on the lake. One day, we were taking the paddle boat for a casual swim in deeper water past the floating dock when we noticed something very strange. It was the top of a huge log, as if it were growing out of the lake bed. We could not believe what we were seeing. We yelled at her mom and brother to come out to us, and we all stared at this weird lake tree. We were weirded out and fascinated. We took turns swimming over it and trying to touch it with our feet. Well, everyone but me. Ugh, weird lake tree log. My aunt later asked the owner of the resort what a giant log was doing floating the wrong way in the deep part of the lake. He explained that there used to be logging in the area, and they would tow logs across the lake, and some would sink to the bottom like that. Me and my cousin were not buying it. The whole thing was just so bizarre. Even after we grew up, I would randomly double check with her that this happened, and she would agree that she did remember it too. It never really occurred to me until now to Google it, because we did not have the internet back then, so it wasn't an option. And I was still kind of convinced it was a glitch in the Matrix or a weird shared false memory. Well, turns out it's a real thing. These logs are called floating vertically deadheads when presented like the one we saw. One poster on Reddit explained, deadheads are water-soaked logs that float vertically and can weigh tons. Another poster said that during storms, they can move up and down and eventually pop right out of the water. Luckily, Potato Lake was not big enough to foster its own weather system, but that is so creepy. I cannot wait to tell my cousin about this and bring some closure to this very benign but creepy event. Even after this, I still swim in lakes. I just do not like it. If I did not participate in lake life, I think I would be evicted from the state, which I do not want. Although Canada is really thinking about annexing us, fingers crossed. Thank you for inspiring me to investigate this. Turns out it's a whole thing that freaks a lot of people out on TikTok. I really recommend going down the deadhead rabbit hole. I just don't think it will help with Christy's fear of lake swimming.
Well, I think that I have what you have too. It's not that I won't do it. I just don't like it. So, I mean, because I was thinking after we've been covering this, like how much time I've spent on lakes, especially growing up, because one of my best friends from elementary to high school lived on the lake, like her actual house. And they had jet skis and boats, and we were taking them out by ourselves in like sixth and seventh grade. And I mean, we had on life jackets, but we're also super young. But I was on the lake all the time. So I will swim in them. I just don't like it very much, especially as I get older. Now that I know about these things, which I did go down a rabbit hole, and it's wild. Because at first I was like, I couldn't picture it. It's like a giant log just bobbing up and down.
Yeah, instead of being floating side to side, it floats up and down. If you're holding a pencil side to side, just hold it up and down and just vertically floating deadheads. I never knew this was a thing, but it makes sense. If it tumps into the water, wood is porous and can absorb. And at some point, it's like a sponge. It's just going to absorb so much that it becomes heavy. I don't know why I figured it would still float side to side, but maybe if it's like deeper down in there, more water sucks at the bottom than the top. And therefore, it like gravity just pulls the water down and pulls the log down.
Yeah.
But I'd freak out if I saw this in the water, certainly.
Especially if there's a storm and all of a sudden it just pops right out. I mean, you're probably not on the lake if there's a storm, But what if you are, or what if you live near one and just a fucking giant house log pops out?
It's just like, shoot it out.
Shoots you into orbit. Well, it would be a weird thing to come across for sure. And there are a lot of people that are freaked out by them on TikTok. There's just a lot of fears, like niche fears that I didn't know existed until TikTok.
Yes.
And this is one of them. I think things in lakes in general, and there is that fear of like things being submerged or like they look half submerged. I forget what it's called, but I went down a rabbit hole one time of that. And people, that is a big fear that people have too.
I could see that. And that, hey, that's the good thing about social media and TikTok is you're like, I'm the only one that's afraid of this. And then you post it and a bunch of people are either, yes, I'm also afraid of it, or hey, actually, this is scientifically what it is. There's no need to be. Or even if you're still afraid of it, at least you now know what it is. So it helps you conquer your fears.
I'm still terrified, but at least I know what causes it.
I'm afraid of Potato Lake in general because I'm not trying to swim in a whole lake made of mashed potatoes. Or
I am.
I'm dying there. I want to go there to die.
I've said so many times, don't dive headfirst into a lake unless it's a lake of mashed potatoes, and then just go straight face first.
Hell yes. This has got, instead of having logs in it, I need like a mashed potato with big ass chicken strips or something in it that's floating up and down.
Chicken strips. Interesting.
I'm trying to think of what's log-ish shaped.
Sticks of butter?
Could be butter. They're going to melt in there. Although, and then it's like little pools.
After the sticks of butter in the last
boco
we did, I can't look at a stick of butter the same way.
Sticks of butter have been soiled, if not ruined, a little bit. But Potato Lake doesn't, they don't allow that at Potato Lake. Outside butter only at Potato Lake.
But you got Sour Cream Cove and Bacon Bay. Mm-hmm. Chive Landing.
Let's do it.
Chive Landing. Yeah.
I'm ready. I want to go on the apocalypso of Potato Lake that just shoots me at 400 feet down into a big pile of potatoes.
Fuck yeah.
I'm all on
board with that. Do you know where that lake is? Please tell us, because I'll book a flight right now.
We'll be right there. And yes, Becky, if they take Minnesota, then we're going to Minnesota.
Dude, I told someone yesterday, I was just mentioning we're going to Vermont. I was like, I'd move there right now.
Like, taking my bag, packing my bags. We're not leaving.
Oh, man.
Lordy, yeah. Well. Yeah, enjoy that. Enjoy Potato Lake, Becky.
And take us all there. Your lakes. I knew that it was the land of 10,000 lakes, but I didn't know that people really are like obsessed with lakes that live up there.
They're like lake fans. I met a lady in Big Bend at one of the like farmers market, like artisan markets, and she had all these little beautiful small paintings, like little micro paintings, and they were all very like blue and rushing water and everything. And I was like, Big Bend is West Texas. It's dirt. Like, I love it. We go there a lot, but like, it's dirt. And I was like, what inspired this? She was like, well, the first 30 years of my life, I grew up in Minnesota. And I was like, what a fucking change.
Right.
Like, the land of 1,000 lakes to like literal dry ass desert. And I was like, I would paint this all the time too.
Yeah. The land of dirt versus the land of water.
Lush.
Yeah.
Oof.
Well, thank you all so much for all of your stories. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday. Speaking of freaky, have you got something creepy you've caught on camera? Maybe you found a weird or unexplainable clip online, or you just have a funny video you want us to see. Send it our way and we'll live react to it during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream over on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. Don't worry, it's still totally free, even though it is on Patreon. You just have to sign up as a free member with your email, like you would do for anything, and bingo blammo, you got access to it in addition to all of the catalog of free stuff we have for just free members on there too.
Yeah, all the monthly bonus content that get released to the members. We do weekly bonus content, but then once a month, we make an archive bonus content available to everybody. And that's been going on for a lot of months now. So there's a back catalog.
Movie roasting things that we've opened up to all members before. So there's a lot of fun stuff on there. And you get to see us live react to weird, funny, unsettling, heartwarming. We had some heartwarming ones on this last one.
We
God
did.
God bless Fred Rogers.
Yeah, we got a little choked up on this one. Mm-hmm. And you can watch, there's a collection at the top of Patreon that says Sunday Scaries, and all 11 of the past Sunday Scary videos are there to watch on demand. So you also get to catch up on everything.
Nice.
Again, all for free.
Well, if you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content like we were just talking about. You can join for free to see what we're up to next, or dive into over 1,000 hours of segments like Judge Christie, where I rule on petty grievances you bring before the court, True Crime Headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates in true crime, Heather Saves, where anything Heather has found late night scrolling could be discussed, and Am I the Asshole, and Popular Opinions, and other subreddits that we feel require our input.
We also offer free trials, so if you want to see what all those perks are, you can join for free for a week. Check out all the perks and cancel anytime before the trial is over without getting charged. But if you decide to stick around, what do you get?
You can get ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As on the third Thursday of each month, quarterly live bonus content, weekly audio bonus content, mini-sodes, merch discounts, and a community of the best listeners on the whole world wide web.
Certainly. Head over to sinisterhood.com, click shop on the top banner to check out merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show and submit topics and cases you'd like us to cover, as well as submissions for Freaky Friday and Sunday Scaries. You'll also find fun things like topic-based playlists. And speaking of open water.
Hell yeah.
Crime Wave at Sea 2025. I was just telling a mom friend of mine at a field trip that I went on with Ella's school yesterday all about this, and it made me get excited for it even
Hell
more.
Yeah.
I've been excited, but anytime I like talk about someone that hasn't heard about it and I'm explaining it, I'm like, this is going to be really fun.
You're like, listen, it's the ultimate true crime festival at sea, not only with us and with listeners of our show. It's like the only time we're all going to go on vacation together, but also with awesome podcasts like Scared to Death, True Crime Campfire, and Henry and Ed from Last Podcast on the Left. And we're doing not only performances, we're going to have fun activities, events, plus excursions, the food that you get on a cruise ship anyway, the people watching of cruise ships, which I'm sure, because you have, it is like the True Crime Festival, folks, is like a portion of the boat. And then there's just like cruisers, that's the rest of the boat. And one might think, oh, we're outnumbered. I'm like, yeah, but would you rather be the niche group on the boat or the boat, the person on the boat with a niche group? And I would rather be the niche group
on the boat. If the ship goes down, yeah, I guarantee you, the majority is coming to us like, we need your help.
We need your help. They're like, we got to go find those true crime fans. They'll know. So it'll be very fun on all those events. Plus, like, we're going to see a USO, an unidentified submersible object,
or
I've decided.
UFO. A UFO. I think we could see either. Yeah,
we'll
there's going to be true crime fan meetups, podcast shows, all sorts of fun stuff, just hanging out on the ship. And right now, the next 20 people that sign up, just as a free add-on, you get an intimate Q&A with this. They are capping this at about 50 people or so, because we want it to be a small experience where it's really intimate. This isn't something that will be available for purchase. It's just kind of a thank you for booking early with us. If you've already booked, don't worry. It is going to be applied to you as well.
Yeah. So go over to crimewaveatsea.com/sinister and get your fan code so you can book your cabin. And if you need somebody to bunk with, head over to our Discord channel. Or if you've already booked, head over to our Discord channel and exchange ideas on like how to get there, what you're going to wear, what to bring, like cruising tips, and see who all's going to go. You get to meet everybody in advance and then meet in person in November, November 3rd through 7th.
Yes.
Follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Follow us over on YouTube and TikTok at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from the episodes, live streams, and more. And if you're looking for a unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, or you want to treat yourself to some advice or a pep talk, book a cameo now. From happy birthday to birth announcements to congratulations on whatever to Mother's Day, Father's Day, graduations, any of that kind of stuff that's coming up at the early days of summer is like a gift scramble time. Grab a cameo. We will create a customized video that can be immediately viewed and sent. It is an incredibly thoughtful gift, but also you don't have to leave the house or go anywhere to get one. You just order it right on your phone from the toilet. We won't tell them that's where you bought it from. And we won't do the cameo from the toilet. We will do it from a real chair.
Will.
We're
yeah.
not
You
can on...
be completely nude and order this and we wouldn't know.
We would know.
You don't
all.
Have to like put on a bra or anything.
Not at all. Go to cameo.com and search Sinisterhood to get your custom video today. Christy, where can people find you online?
I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm on the internet at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy. Wah-ha-ha-ha. Sinning.